The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by LL Pavorsky Jewelers, where Rights to Ricky Sanchez listeners go and get engaged. Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Badge. Get yours at bigbarker.com/Ricky. Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of The Process, The Colony Meadery, the official gluten-free booze made from honey of The Process, and Kinetic Skateboarding. Get 9.1% off your first order with promo code Dave Silver. On today's show, part two of our Sixers season preview. We'll do some NBA season preview stuff as well. Over-unders, predictions, and we will have the first ever Rights to Ricky Sanchez bold predictions draft that will be moderated by Mr. Andrew Unterberger. Before we get to the show, two things to remind you of. First of all, the Rights to Ricky Sanchez Bark in the Park run team for the Providence Animal Center is the race itself, the walk and run is October 27th. It is the only way to get your Rebel That's a Normal Collar, Find a New Slant t-shirt, thanks to Colony Meadery and LL Pavorsky Jewelers. You have to sign up for the team by the 18th, by midnight on the 18th. That's the only way you get the t-shirt. Our goal is to have 100 people on the team and raise $10,000. We've raised over $10,000, so I want to raise $15,000. But I think we're at 58 people on the team. And remember, that'll be your only way to get that t-shirt. Thanks again to Colony Meadery and LL Pavorsky Jewelers. And we haven't talked about it in a few weeks, but Bust the Process 4, which is actually Fly the Process 2. We are going to Atlanta to find Paul Millsap March 22nd through March 25th of 2019. Here's what you get. Round trip, nonstop airfare from Philly to Atlanta, three nights hotel at the four-star Hilton downtown in Atlanta. There is a rooftop basketball court at the hotel that we will have access to all weekend, a three-hour all-inclusive pregame party really close to the arena. You'll get beer, wine, BBQ, a ticket to the game. We will take a picture on the court after the game. With your ticket, you get $10 on the game ticket toward concessions. There will be a commemorative t-shirt that I'm already thinking of ideas for, and there will be a bus to get you from the airport to the hotel. All it costs for you to reserve your spot is $150 a person. Cost for the trip, $699 a person based on quad occupancy, all different prices for triple occupancy, double occupancy. And if you need a custom package, if you're not coming from Philly, if you're already in Atlanta, just email joe@fansofphilly.com. If you're on our trip last year, if you saw the video, the pictures of our trip to Chicago, Milwaukee, it was awesome. Really looking forward to Atlanta. Hundreds of people. We will be certainly the loudest people in that arena. So reserve your spot at rightstorickysanchez.com. Without any further ado, here is Run the Jewels.
We are the murderous pair. That went to jail and we murdered the murderers there. Then went to hell and discovered the devil delivered some hurt and despair. Used to have powder to push. Now I smoke pounds of the push. Holy, I'm burning the bush. Now I give a fuck about none of this shit. Jew runner over and out of this bitch. Step into the spotlight. Copying of uppers and downers get done. I'm in a rush to be numb. Dropping a thousand a month.
Welcome to the Rice Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with a guy who is sitting in the corner of his apartment watching a countdown clock. Simply counting down the seconds to Tuesday night's opening game for the Sixers. That is Mike Levin. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Spike.
How much time since you're watching that countdown clock?
Pretty soon.
Is that what it says on the clock?
Yeah.
It's coming.
Just reading off the clock.
Pretty soon. So here we are, another season, just minutes away. I guess everything is always minutes away. I'm finally starting to get excited. It does seem like that even though the off season was shorter this year because they played in the playoffs, it did feel longer to me. It felt like the longest off season we've ever had. So I'm ready for basketball.
Yeah, I guess it did. It was just such a weird off season.
Yeah.
Not that there have been many normal ones, but this one was particularly weird.
It was definitely the worst.
Honestly,
yeah.
Still haven't been able to give any of my full attention to Zaire having chest surgery.
Yes.
For an allergic reaction.
Yeah. That'll be the one thing that we always reference but never talk about. It'll be like,
no, I can't even get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor Zaire Smith. And no follow-up. thankfully. No follow-up from anyone.
No.
Yep. Just, it like, as if the press release said he had a sprained ankle. That's the way it's being covered. So,
yep.
Well, as I mentioned in the intro, this is the sort of the, I didn't plan on Wednesday's pod being the first half of our season preview, but it really was with the confidence level. So we'll do Sixers over-unders for this. We'll do our predictions. And then Andrew Underberger had an idea, a fine idea, for a bold predictions draft in which we make bold predictions about the Sixers. He rates how bold they are. And then our scores are determined by them coming true and the bold score. So he'll explain it when he gets on. But one thing before we get going that we forgot to do, we forgot to give confidence level in Dario. I had him on the list, I'm pretty sure, but we didn't give our 0 to 76. We spent so much time explaining to you that 74 out of 76 is not 74% that we completely skipped Dario. So do you want to do a quick Dario confidence level in where he is this year?
Sure. You know, he ducked my question at Ricky Live, but the deal was that he would get better on defense,
right,
to where he's playable at in end game situations. But he hasn't been super healthy this preseason. Seems like he's been a little dinged up. So I sort of think he's just going to be the same player as last year, which was a great player, which was a guy who has gotten better each year, really improved his shot, gotten more comfortable, clumpy flumped to his heart's delight, but still was a little weak defensively, positionless. So he's gotten better each year. I think this might be the year that he maybe plateaus, tapers off a little. So I would say I have a 55 out of 76 confidence level that he will improve slightly on the defensive end, but still be that same kind of unplayable in crunch time because he's exploitable on defense on switches.
Yeah, I agree. I think actually the bigger question, because I have such a low expectation of his defensive improvement, is because I think eventually as he gets older, he will end up being pretty good. Like, he'll be a fine team defender with limitations in terms of athletic ability, which will be fine. And eventually the roster will be constructed in a way and even if he's coming off the bench, in which that limitation will be less so, you know, he'll be able to play with people that are that allow him to be who he is. I think the real question for me is whether he's able to shoot as well as he shot last year, and whether the 3-point shooting that was surprising last year was an exception to the rule, whether it was an outlier or whether it was how he actually shoots. So if he's able to be there again, pretty excited. I don't know what my confidence level is in that. I guess my confidence in him repeating that is about as similar to yours is as his slight improvement on the defensive end, like right around 50 or 55, something like that. So, okay. Well, I feel like the best way to preview the season, I think I've come up with some over-unders that are that cover almost everything, and then we can make our predictions before we get to AU. You ready for some over-unders?
Let's do it.
All right. No, and these are exclusive instances, not total articles. So if this first thing is not like if Woj comes up with the story and then everybody cites his story, that is one specific rumor. So the number of times the Sixers will be involved in trade rumors for a star player this season, the over-under is 2.5.
Would you say that the Sixers were involved in a rumor for Jimmy Butler?
No. I don't think they ever were. It was never an actual thing, right? They were definitely involved in the rumor for Kawhi Leonard. I would say that. Their name came up, but they were almost every time they were mentioned, it was like Sixers are not going to engage in this one unless the price is nothing. So I think they were brought up as a people wondering because they need a third star, but I don't think they were ever seriously mentioned.
And so when you say star, you mean at least, at the very least, starter level, but better than JJ
type yeah. player. Yeah, I would say someone who it would not shock you if they were involved in all-star team voting.
Okay, final question. This is the number of times that they're involved for a specific player, or it could be the same player, multiple rumors over the course of the season?
Let's say it can be the same player, but definitely distinct times, like goes away and can come back.
All right. Well, now that it can be the same player, I will say over 2.5.
Okay.
But if it was just individual players, I would say under.
And I would not count like the Chris Sheridan, Anthony Davis rumor. It has to be a trade for this year.
Wow. A lot of clarifications
well,
here.
Well, you know, I will go over as well. I think they'll be involved in every single one of them. The real question is how many of them will actually exist. That is the question. All right. Number of triple-doubles for Ben Simmons this year. I'm setting the over-under at 15.5. Had 12 last year.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And there's, you know, who never know about injury concerns. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be holding the ball if Fultz is going to be playing a lot and Simmons will be off a little bit. I'll say conservatively, I'll say under, but not much. In the 12 to 14 range, I'll say.
I was actually surprised that he only had 12 last year when I looked at it. I thought the number was higher. I'm going to say above. I'm going to say he's going to get more than 15.5. I think that is, like, he likes stats, and I would imagine he likes triple-doubles the most. That would be my guess. You know, some guys like points the most. Some guys like rebounds the most. Russell Westbrook likes triple-doubles the most. And I think Ben likes triple-doubles the most. So I think he's going to end up with like 17. That would be my guess. Okay. Will Markelle Fultz average more or less minutes per game than TJ McConnell?
So I wanted to bring this up. And this seems like a decent place to do it.
And here's one thing I'll say. I'm even counting if TJ gets traded to a different team. I'm saying at the end of the year, who will average more minutes?
Well, so that's what I'm saying. Okay. So obviously, you look at San Antonio, and they've lost a number of guards. Dejounte Murray, Lonnie Walker, Derek White. It seems to be there in the market. Started to think yesterday, what happens if the Sixers made TJ available in a Spurs trade? What could they get out of it? What's the benefit? To me, it looks like I've fallen a bunch of sides of this because TJ is an incredibly likable guy. Team loves him. Coaching staff loves him. Colangelo even loved him. And it's nice insurance for Fultz if that doesn't pan out, and just like when Simmons isn't in there, all that stuff. That being said, Landry Shamet looks good, although not as a primary ball handler, but he does look good. And if Fultz is Fultz, then there could be a minutes crunch. And if you have TJ, you want to play TJ because he's good. But his contract expiring at the end of the year, and if you can get value for him, then is it a good idea to do so? So I was thinking what they could get out of him. Does someone give you a protected first for an expiring TJ? I would say probably not.
No.
Even though they have San Antonio has a Toronto pick that if it's not top 20 protect, it's top 20 protected if it doesn't land in the top 20.
You're not getting a real first round. I don't think you're getting a first round pick that has a chance of conveying.
Well, it becomes 2 seconds if the Raptors are bad.
Yeah, but that'll convey. You know, that is probably a conveyable first round pick.
Yeah, if Kawhi is playing, it'll be like, you know, 28 or so. Could you find a way to make it work where it's TJ and Bayless's contract for the contract of Patty Mills and a pick? because so that then we get into different factors of it. It's Patty Mills has 3 years left on his contract, and it's at like $11 million or so, which is a lot for a guy that doesn't really play defense. But that's the exact kind of skill set. I mean, that's the Bayless skill set that you wanted next to Simmons in the first place. And it would be a nice change of pace from Fultz. And Brett obviously loves Patty. He's a Australian guy. Add to the Australian collection we got going. And then because we let them get off his contract, then they'd be willing to throw in like a very protected first out of it. And if you're looking at two expiring contracts, is it? I'm just worried that the team, and it happened for a little while, that the team's going to not be able to afford TJ and he's just going to walk.
We're never going to get through all these if we spend 15 minutes on TJ.
I know, I want to talk about this trade possibility. Okay. I was thinking about it yesterday. But I think I came down on the side of this is maybe just being too cute and everybody loves TJ. It could leave a bad taste in people's mouths right before the season. It'd be nice to get value for him instead of walking, but there's a chance that they could re-sign him if he wants to stay home. I just worry that someone's going to offer TJ like $330 million, and the Sixers are going to be like, we can't give a chunk of our cap space away like that. So I'm worried about losing him, but I think because they have a shot this season and you just want the locker room to stay together and feel good, I went through all the facts. And I would err on the side of not making that trade. How about you?
Is TJ going to add more, average more or less minutes than Markelle Fultz?
We can talk about the possibilities of a trade. This isn't random. This isn't DJ Ho.
Well, I know, but I don't know if they're going to trade TJ McConnell. If somebody's going to offer a first round pick, here's why I don't think they're going to. I just don't want to go down this road again. I don't think Markelle Fultz's play is going to allow them to trade TJ McConnell. I think they will be short a ball handler, and they need a competent second unit ball handler. And my guess is when it comes to nut cutting time, Brett will be more confident in TJ than he will in Fultz, which is saying a lot, but it's saying what it's saying. And unless they are wowed, which I don't think 1 year of TJ McConnell. By the way, I can't imagine TJ's getting 3 years, $30 million anywhere. He's getting like $5 or $6 million a year. That would be my guess. But even that would be, you know, a little much if they end up having to pay a third star here. But I think they're going to have to hold on to McConnell unless they're wild. So
I'll say Fultz averages more minutes.
I think it's going to be close, but I think by the end of the year, that's when it'll get close, because I think the second half of the year it'll be McConnell. I'll say Fultz, but not by many. Joel Embiid, 3-point shooting percentage, 34.2%.
Slightly under.
So I'm going with enormous year for Embiid. I think I've come down on, because I think this year in most ways depends on him. I think he's going to shoot a lot of them, and I think he's going to settle in at 35%. So I'm going to go over, just barely over, but on a pretty high volume, I will think. Number of games played, Joel Embiid, over or under 69?
Over.
I'm going over too. I'm going 74.
That feels right.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even heard a whisper about Joel Embiid being like anything bothering him. You know what I mean? Like it there hasn't been like he's sitting out practice because of his ankle. Like absolutely nothing. No wrist, no knee, no anything. All great signs that I'm sure I will completely regret saying
feels like a classic jinx.
Yes, yeah, this is definitely direct classic jinx, but I'm going with 74 games. I'm going over. Number of articles written by separate writers about a problematic relationship between Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, the over under is 1.5.
I will say way over.
Oh really?
Despite the fact that I don't believe there is a problematic relationship.
I will go over as well. It will be directly related to how many losing streaks they have, like if they struggle, because that's what will start happening. Is that's what it will come from. I have a hard time believing if they are 20-6 that there will be many articles like that. But if they, you know, if they start off 8-8 or something like that, I think that will be a possibility. Our next one is going to be about Elton Brand, but before we get to it, let's talk about our sponsor, Big Barker Dog Beds. Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds, real dog beds for real dogs. If you have a fake dog, you don't need to spend what is necessary on a Big Barker. But if you have a real dog who you actually care about, a Big Barker is a wonderful investment. If you buy the shitty dog beds that aren't even real beds from pet stores, you know, $40, whatever it is, you're going to end up buying 7 of them in the next 15 years. And even more than that, your dog is going to suffer, because as your dog gets older and develops arthritis, just like we do, that dog will have been sleeping on a bad bed and will have sore joints. But not
even seven beds stacked on top of each
other. Yes, would still not be as supportive as a Big Barker dog bed that have been specifically engineered for bigger dogs, which develop arthritis. 80% of dogs over 50 pounds develop arthritis as they age. Now, they have Big Barker sizes for every dog. My dog, Rebel, is not bigger than 50 pounds. He's 40 pounds, loves his Big Barker. We all get old, even your dogs. Make aging more comfortable with a Big Barker dog bed. They are legit. Go to the Process Pup section of RightsRickySanchez.com. You can actually visually see how supportive the beds are. And then go to BigBarker.com/Ricky to get your Big Barker for your dog with the free Ricky upgrade, a cover for the bed with a tastefully embroidered Rights Ricky Sanchez logo on it. Even if you don't have a dog, you can bring it to a live podcast and sit on stage there. 10-year warranty on the Big Barker dog bed. Foam won't flatten, or they will replace it for free. 1-year at-home trial. If you don't like it for any reason in a year, if your dog doesn't like it, return it for free. They'll even pay for shipping, and it is handmade in the United States of America. That is BigBarker.com/Ricky. Big Barker dog beds.
Woof, woof.
I was waiting for a third. Okay.
Nope.
Number of trades made by Elton Brand total this season. Over or under 2.5?
I'll say under. Feels like a safe under.
Yeah. I mean, more than 2 is a lot. I feel like the real key is going to be how long Wilson Chandler is out, whether it necessitates another trade.
You got DJ Hoag right there. I think it's probably fine.
What's that?
You got DJ Hoag right there.
Right. Right.
I don't think it's necessary.
Improve
from within.
I am going over. I'm going to go over, just barely over with 3, but I'm going to go over. Related over under, number of stars acquired by the Sixers prior to the trade deadline, 0.5 over under.
I keep going back and forth. I'll say under. I don't think there's going to be stars made available. I'll say under.
I'm going under as well. Although it would be really exciting if something happened, I'm going to go under. I look forward to the year, and Jimmy Butler will get traded. Boy, am I thankful we haven't been involved in trade rumors for that guy. What an asshole. I'm definitely going to go under as well. Landry Shamet question. Number of minutes per game for Landry Shamet over under 9.5.
I'll say over. There's because DMPCDs don't count towards that.
Yep.
So I will say over.
I'm gonna go over as well. I think we're gonna end up at like 12-15 for Shamet. And maybe I'm fooled by preseason. That's certainly possible. But definitely look like rotation guy to me, especially with Simmons not shooting, Fultz not shooting, you know, the number of guys who you can use like Shamet, that they could use a guy like Shamet. So I think that skill set will be important to him. I am going over. Number of games played from Furkan Korkmaz, 40.5. Over or under?
I'll say under.
Yeah, I'm saying under as well. I think it's like a 30 games played type thing. Okay, now when I say over, under, over means, well, Joel Embiid's ranking and MVP voting. So I set the line at 3.5. Let's say over means he's first, second, or third. Under means he's fourth or lower.
I'll say under, but not far, like a 4 or 5 area.
I'm going over. I think this is the year. I just think it's the year. I think everything comes together for Embiid this year, and I think he ends up top three in MVP voting.
I also think everything comes together. I just don't know that people will give him the credit for it.
That's fair. Number of Sixers on all NBA teams, over under 1.5.
Over.
Wow. There we go. So that means Ben Simmons ends up on an all NBA team, right?
I didn't say that.
But. Well, okay. Let's say Embiid is one of them. Who else could?
Sounds like Ben Simmons.
Right. I would love a Robert Covington all NBA season, but something tells me probably not.
You're saying all defense doesn't count.
Correct. All NBA.
Yeah, that'd be Simmons.
Okay.
I think Embiid, first team, Simmons, third.
I think, in a roundabout way, the only way Simmons can make it is if Fultz is really good and Simmons can be considered something other than a point guard. I think that can put him in position to sort of be voted in as a forward, maybe. I don't think he will, but I think that's the way it could happen. Now, I don't know what the number is last year. But let's say for this year, number of times Keith Pompey uses the word flow in a tweet. The over-under is 122.5, and it starts from opening day until the end of the season.
And off days count.
Off days count.
Over.
Way over.
Easy over.
So this is one I'm excited that I came up with. Number of times Brian Colangelo will be publicly interviewed in an attempt to clear his name this season. Any time from now till when the NBA Finals ends, the over-under is 0.5.
I will say not a podcast, but definitely like a Jordan Ritter-Con.
Yeah.
Like long-form article, something like that.
Yeah, I'm going over. There's no question he's going to be able to sit out a year and not talk about this.
Absolutely.
There's no way.
We're going to get something like, and the word villa is going to be in there. And it's going to talk about like a poached egg breakfast.
Especially if the Sixers are playing really well, there's no way he'll be able to contain himself. Like, there's just no way. He'll need credit. Oh, God, that'll be great.
I'm happy for Elton. That's definitely a line.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the podcast we do exclusively about that interview. Like pod. Yeah. Dario Saric, 3-point percentage, 37.8, over or under?
Over.
Ooh, I'm going under. Slightly under, but under. Robert Covington, 3-point percentage, 37.8. He was at 36.9 last year.
Over.
I am going over as well. Number of games that J.J. Redick starts, over or under 69.5?
I'll say slightly under.
It's close. I'm also going to go under, but also slightly under. And final over under before we get to our season predictions. Number of podcasts J.J. Redick releases during the season, over or under 12.5?
I'm thinking under. I think I think he's been shaken by various scandals.
The cage. I'm sorry for laughing. Yeah.
And I think he's just like, I might not even be starting this season. Let me just calm down. I'll do a couple podcasts. Let me put out. He'll do like a Dame podcast.
Yeah.
He'll do like, maybe he'll get Durant, and then he'll get like DeAndre. and he'll do a couple fancy out of league people, and it'll be like seven. He'll be like, everyone is happy with this, but quietly. And I think he's just going to coast into having a hopefully no drama season for Mr. Reddick.
I'm going over, but here's my real question. He quit Twitter, and he said he had been thinking about it for a while, which is a total lie, but he quit Twitter. Do you think J.J. Redick has a burner Twitter account to see what people are saying about him?
Yes.
Absolutely. He has to. There's no way you can be on Twitter the way he was and then just completely forget about it. Absolutely has a burner Twitter. I don't hold that against him, but absolutely has a burner Twitter. All right. We have come to predictions time. We will do Sixers record, where we think the Sixers run ends. Sixers MVP, NBA MVP, finals matchup, and NBA champion. I'll go first on Sixers record, if you wouldn't mind.
25.
As usual. Only if you combine this season and next season. So I've thought long and hard about this. And when I initially thought about it, I had it at like 48. But what I began to think more about was Embiid. And, you know, the East is funny because I think it's better than people think in terms that I think the playoff teams, like 1 through 6 or 7, are pretty strong. But it's also pretty top-heavy, a lot like the West is, and there are plenty of bad and beatable teams. But I also think about Embiid and what I expect out of Embiid this year. And I think the difference, like the only person who can make them great this year is specifically Embiid. He's the only person who I think is at the point in his career where he can sort of carry a team in a real way. And I think he's going to do it. And I think they're going to win 55 games. I think that's probably only good for the 3 seed in the East. But and we say this all assuming health and those sorts of things. I think like him having that season is enough to get them to 55. I don't think less than that is out of the question. And I don't think winning 48 games is a failure, depending on how it happens. But if I had a bet on it, I think the over-under is tricky. 54 is pretty tricky, but I'm going 55.
Yeah, I'm also team East is good. I think your Milwaukee Bucks will be better. I think the Pacers will take a little step back. I think the Hornets will be better. I think the Pistons will be better. I think Brooklyn is not bad. I think there's just like more teams that aren't going to lay down and die than last year. But I also... What's that sound? I think someone's milking something.
Yeah. It's not me. Maybe it's AU typing. You
know, is he milking something? It's crazy. Let me finish here. Sixers record. I was going to say 54 even. Okay. I think a little better than last year. But you gotta count some injury situation. I think it's probably undeniable that playing Fultz at least at the beginning of the season will cost them a little, but I'm fine with it. I think better in the long run. The record to me doesn't matter. We're back to record doesn't matter because, again, I think they're the most talented team in the conference. I think if they are healthy going into the playoffs, then we are that's all that matters. So get healthy before the playoffs. Don't care about the record. Rest, guys. Fresh legs. All day.
Sixers MVP.
I mean Embiid, right?
Yeah. Has to be. I think it has to be Embiid. I don't think there's, you know, if we're talking about winning that many games, it has to be Embiid.
Unless we're saying, like, X factor, in which case, like, maybe it's Zaire Smith or Landry Shamet.
But MVP, I think, is fine. NBA MVP.
Anthony Davis.
Good pick. I don't think they'll win enough games for it to happen, but would be pretty outstanding. It would be exciting to see. It comes down to me between Embiid and LeBron. The real question is how many games do the Lakers win and how many does it take for him to win MVP? I think if they win 51 games, he wins MVP. But I think they're going to win 48 games. And I think Embiid is...
This is the Lakers?
Yeah. I think Embiid's going to win MVP. I think... and the biggest victory won't be over anybody but anyone who said Giannis would win the MVP. Because I think generally... Giannis is overrated and Embiid is underrated. I was looking at Embiid's on and off stats from last year, and they're insane. Like it's and this has been since he's got here. Even in the very beginning, they've been insane. So I'm picking Embiid. I'm going all in on Embiid this year. So I say Embiid wins. I should go to Vegas and put money on the.
You pay no attention to the Bucks putting up like 84 points and a half in preseason.
No, that's okay. I'll take it. That's fine. They can't give all five of them MVP, Budenholzer. So that trick is over. So finals matchup.
Let's do it. Fucking Sixers Warriors, baby.
Okay. And who?
Although I don't think it's as much of a open and shut Warriors as everybody else. There's malaise.
Yeah.
I think Houston took maybe a little step back, but if they're healthy, they were. You know, Chris Paul turning an ankle away from being the winning that series. And people are just like, oh, it was predestined, but they were right there. And if somebody on the Warriors gets hurt, if Steph gets hurt, if Draymond gets hurt, then I think if Klay or Durant get hurt, they can overcome that. But if Steph or Draymond gets hurt, I think that changes the whole outlook of the team. So, and that happens. People get injured. People go out for the season all the time. Everyone, I mean, if one meniscus travels from Philadelphia to Golden State.
Or one food allergy.
Anything.
Yeah.
So I would say it's not as predestined. And the West is obviously very, very deep and loaded as usual. But, yeah, I like how the Sixers are in. And I'm saying it might not be the Warriors.
Yeah.
So I've already established. Sixers I'm writing in Sharpie.
And
Warriors in pencil.
And you're saying that the Warriors win in that scenario.
Yeah, if a healthy Warriors team comes to Sixers, I'll say they win. Which, it's nice. Like, let's keep teasing it out one piece at a time.
AU, could you just mute your mic at least? I know your mic is broken, but there's a little thing that allows you to mute yourself there. Just mute yourself.
How do I do that?
There should be like an X and a... And a like little speaker thing on your
on TriCast.
just there it is. See, guys, the best part about AU is that he writes us a note that his mic was broken, and he's the only one we hear somehow. So my finals matchup leads into my long-awaited Celtics take that I've been teasing for 2.5 months.
Well, I'm going to mute my mic for this one then. Take it.
So I think the finals matchup will be the Celtics and the Warriors. And I think the Celtics are going to win. I think the Celtics are going to win 68 games this year. I don't think we have properly put into context how talented they are. They will start 4.5 guys that will get all-star consideration this year. Horford has been an all-star. Kyrie has been an all-star. Gordon Hayward has been an all-star. There's no way that Tatum won't be in that conversation. And I really like Jaylen Brown. They are remarkably deep. They have the best coach in the NBA. And unfortunately, they have an 85% chance of getting that fucking Kings pick. Which is even more infuriating. But back to them. I think that the Warriors thing, the malaise that you pointed to, will actually destroy them. I think that the Draymond Green thing is going to be a thing all year, and Durant's flirtations with other teams will cause drama within that team. And I think they're going to lose to the Celtics. And I think our worst nightmare, I think the Celtics are going to win the NBA Finals. I think they are built specifically to beat a team like the Warriors with the number of wings they have and the amount they can switch. And I think this is the ultimate hell scenario that we're walking into. A bummer in that it's a possibility that we have at some point the two best players between the Sixers and the Celtics, but they have a lot of them. And I think that will be enough. And I think they're going to win the NBA championship. And that's it.
Funny that your long hyped Celtics take and your possibly last take of the offseason is the same thing as your first take of the offseason.
That we're fucked?
When we lost the Celtics, which is that we're fucked. Yep. Yeah.
I think we're fucked.
And negative Spike checking in, reporting for duty.
You know what?
Once again.
Before we get to AU, I want to comment very quickly on the negative Spike thing, because I thought about that today. And the thing that caused negative Spike, I trace it back to December and an argument we had about Brian Colangelo. And you were like, it's fine, we're good. And I think you have caused negative Spike because you have become unreasonably positive Mike. Which I was thinking for a while this morning about like why all of this started. And all of this started, the process in general, because the Sixers and Sam Hinkie wanted to be great, multiple championships, so on and so forth. And I started thinking about that cliche that good is the enemy of great. And that I thought that the real way that you could argue against the process is that good basketball is fun. And the risks that we were taking to be great were so slim that it wasn't worth it. And a team like the Nuggets this year have no chance of winning the championship, but will be fun to watch. Everyone will tell them that the crowd will love them. The Thunder, the crowd will love them. They have no chance of winning the championship. And I think what has happened is that like we have realized that good is fun and are like sort of content there. And that is the only way that I believe that you can look at Brian Colangelo's 3 years and think it was okay. In all the cap space he had, he signed Jared Bayless, Amir Johnson, JJ Redick, Sergio Rodriguez, a number of literally not one player who can be considered a top four player on the team or a future asset. He got as little as possible out of Jahlil Okafor, as little as possible out of Nerlens Noel as assets. He drafted Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot, who was gone. He drafted Furkan Korkmaz, who we just agreed will play less than 40 games this year, and did not add one piece in the entire 3 years he was here to move anything forward. And here we are left without the Kings pick, and knowing that we need a third star, holding on to the very tiny chance that it could be Markelle Fultz, and with fewer assets than the Celtics to do it. And I think, like, good is fine. I am happy with good. I think watching good basketball is fun. I think it will be fun this year. And I am pivoting to enjoying that. But I will not be cornered into being negative because I'm pointing out what is truly happening.
I don't think you can say that we're settling for good when you've also said that they have the MVP. Like the difference between, the whole point of the process was saying, like, we're not going to be the Hornets and we're not going to be fine with like 42 wins. The Sixers are better than good. They are contending for the Eastern Conference Finals. That is definitely better than good.
No, I think you could say the same for, do you think that the Trailblazers, right? They were like a 3 seed 2 years ago. They could be a 7 seed. The difference between a 3 seed and a 6 seed is like nothing.
I'm not talking about regular season record. I'm talking about the Sixers have a chance because they have Embiid and Simmons to get to the finals. The Blazers do not.
I don't think the Sixers have a chance of getting to the finals if they play the Celtics. I think the
Celtics will be worse than they were last year. I think there's a lot of mouths to feed, and I don't think it's going to go as well as everybody assumes.
Okay.
And I think Kyrie is not a good defensive player, and they're going to love to exploit him on switches. Let's get Kyrie in the post with Embiid, see how he does.
They were the best defensive team in the league with Kyrie on the team last year. That's a fact.
Sure.
It's a fact.
That changes all the time. I'm not saying they're going to be bad. I think they're going to win over 50 games. They might win more than the Sixers this season. But I think it's just a lot of mouths to feed. And I think eventually that's going to catch up to him.
Saying that the Celtics are really good and are in great position and in better position than the Sixers is not me being negative. It is.
You said we were fucked.
But if compared to the Celtics, we are fucked. Yes, absolutely. We are holding on to a chance. Like, if signing a free agent star is the only thing that could put us on the level of the Celtics, which I believe it is, we have a very low percentage chance of that happening. It could happen, but it probably won't happen. So, like, I am glad that they are good. I am fine. I would be fine at this point watching 6 to 8 years of good, competitive, fun basketball with good players. But the object of this was not good. It was great. So
I think the Sixers are – I think winning 52 games is – in the first year that they give a shit about winning is a real step forward to great. And I think that that is still the upside when you have guys as talented as Embiid and Simmons who are two top 25 players. And we'll see what we have with Fultz. We'll see what we have with the other guys. I don't disagree with any of your – individual assessments of the Colangelo era. I think there are a lot of like pretty useless or just like filling out the roster type moves that I think you can critique pretty much every GM for. I think you're right in the sense that like did he not get like future assets? Like, no, he didn't do a great job. I don't think he did a great job. I will never say he did a great job. I think that getting Redick and having Embiid improve and Simmons look as good as he is, I think he has to get some credit for that. I think filling out a team and getting winning 52 games is like he gets some credit for that.
Okay.
Not all of it. All right. But he gets some credit for that. And my point isn't it's never that Colangelo did a great job. It's never that. It's that Hinkie set them up so well that Colangelo could essentially just like rotate through mediocre veterans and make obvious but not exciting picks and still 3 years later we're in great shape and have cap space and one trade down in the first round and we have another 2021 pick. And it's like Colangelo should have done more of that. He's not crafty in that way, but I think like, and it's not exciting that he didn't add to the stockpile of things unless Fultz hits, but
he got the
they're still in really good shape. But and I think we're not saying like we're the Hornets now.
No,
like,
but that's not what I'm saying. You're saying
we're topping out a good. The point of the process was top out a good. Anyone could make a good team. It's pretty easy, which is what
not what I said. But this
is the general thing. You said the point of the process was to be great and was to contend for multiple championships, which I think the Sixers will do. I think they are in the top five for the next decade. They're in the top five of the NBA in that conversation, depending on injury, depending on what happens from now. And that did it. We did it. We're there. And so this offseason was tough because of the weird Colangelo thing and nobody was available for like max free agent.
How would this offseason have gone any differently if not for the weird Colangelo thing? The only thing he did was leave cap room open to sign a free agent. That's all he did. So if you do not think that he was going to sign LeBron, which I do not think he was going to sign LeBron.
No, probably not.
Or sign Paul George or sign any of the major free agents, that we can look at this offseason and say, the GM thing was weird. It was weird, but it didn't affect anything. It didn't change anything.
It probably didn't. I mean, there could have been plans in place. I think it would happen right before the draft. They still had in my mind, a good draft, despite that. But we don't know what could have happened. You just don't know what would have changed and stuff. But there's just not that much. I look at it and say, yeah, am I excited about the Amir Johnson signing, the first one? Like, no, it's fine. Like, there's all these things. The Bayless contract was too long. Gerald Henderson, whatever. Like, all these guys, like, you have to fill out the roster with
I know, but that's
veterans
all
when
did.
You want to win games.
But that's
for sure.
All he did.
Would I have liked it if he did more of that? But I don't think that there were many moves available that other teams were doing.
Okay. I want to get to Underberger. I don't want to do this again.
I don't think you can look at the Sixers and be like, yeah, now they're just happy with being good.
No,
they're happy with just being good. That's what you said. You did say that.
Mike, you are objectively wrong. You are objectively wrong in this.
The Sixers have two of the top 25 players in the league and cap space. I don't know if they're going to sign anybody with that.
Everybody
cap space.
Has cap space. Everybody has
but
cap
the Sixers
space.
Have two of the, but the Sixers have two of the top 25 players
but
in the league.
But no,
that
that's no different. It's no different than when Sam Hinkie resigned in 2016. It's no different. The top four players now were on the team at that point. It's,
for sure.
It's inarguable.
Except now Embiid is an Embiid is now an MVP candidate, and Simmons had one of the best rookie seasons in recent memory.
And
that's
and
attractive
the,
to some players.
Okay. All right. No one's going to...
Just because they didn't sign anybody this offseason doesn't mean they're not going to sign anybody next offseason.
All
off
right,
season.
Mike.
It's a different crop of free agents.
Okay.
Guys stayed home.
Okay.
I don't know why you're so mad.
I'm not mad because you're
screaming.
No, because honestly, like, if you want to play the game where you make pretend that you are fully confident in Markel Fultz and everything is great all the time, and boy, and every podcast with, man, things are great right now. If that wants to be your thing, then go ahead and that's fine. That is absolutely fine. But that doesn't mean when I have questions and disappointments about how things go that I am negative or that I'm always looking on the bad side. I have no choice. I have literally no choice. If you are going to say that you are fully confident in Markel Fultz, a guy who has shot one successful three-pointer in the last
I think we can all agree that, that's been a bit.
Well, but,
I think
but,
we could,
but,
I've
but,
leaned
but,
into
but,
it.
But, like, you won't say anything about Fultz, bad about Fultz. You won't say anything bad about Simmons. You won't say anything bad about what Colangelo did. So what position...
What are you talking about?
Position,
I said plenty of bad things about Colangelo.
What
position, I should talk Colangelo for years.
No, what position does that put me in? Like, if you will not take an objective stance on any of those things, if all of those things... No, I'm being honest, but you haven't. You haven't. You haven't. Is it disappointing that Ben Simmons didn't develop a jump shot in the offseason?
Sure.
Okay.
But it's going to take time. It's hopefully when's a guy gone from being someone who didn't shoot a jump shot to then being all of a sudden being like, yeah, I shoot 40% now. I do it all the time. I wish he did it more. Hopefully he will. I don't know. And I've been negative about Fultz and going back and forth. I acknowledge the Evan Turner-ness of it. It's frustrating. I hope it's not that. I think he was a really good college player, and we've never encountered anything like this before. And I if you say didn't talk shit about Colangelo for years, I think that's insane. You might not have been listening to the podcast. I don't think Colangelo did a good job. I think that the Sixers, despite Colangelo, are in very, very good shape because they have two fucking top 25 players in the league. And the possibility, I don't know, I don't talk to many NBA players that are going to be prospective free agents that are going to command a max contract, but the Sixers are at least in conversations when people say, could want to sign there and be that third star.
So are the Phoenix.
If they
Suns.
Wanted Jimmy Butler, they could have done that. No one's going to come to Phoenix.
Well, but
it's the difference is they have the Sixers have two top 25 players that are attract and a lane. If there's a wing available that wants to be the third guy in Philly and make a super team here, they could easily do that. That's not going to happen in Phoenix. It's probably not going to happen in Denver. Definitely not going to happen in Charlotte or Detroit. The Sixers have vaulted themselves into being that conversation. And it's because Embiid is healthy, it's because Simmons is healthy, and they're both top 25 players and improving. And that's good. That's really good. And I'm not saying they're like better than Boston right now. I think Boston will have their own problems. But I think the way you're looking at things is like last year, in the first year that they were contending, even close, they went from, what, 28 to 52 wins? That's a ridiculous jump. And for you to say in that first, after that jump, you're already saying they're fucked, we're fucked. How could it looks? I'm not going to put more words in your mouth, but that's basically what you've been saying. And I'm just like, I'm more optimistic because it's been great. The process worked. We were right. Embiid and Simmons are healthy and great. Who knows about Fultz? I hope he's as good as he was in college. Maybe we'll never know. Covington's great on a good contract. Dario keeps improving. Like I think it's fine to be optimistic about the Sixers, and whether a free agent comes this year or they trade for somebody, like there's options available for the Sixers to continue to get better. It's not like they're tapped out. They're not, you know. You look at what team who just signed Miami. Miami has like no cap room for the next 3 years. They pretty much have to get a Jimmy Butler trade or something like that to break through. The Sixers have maneuverability and tradable contracts. So does Miami. But I'm just, like the full thing has been a bit because it's the craziest thing that's ever happened in the world. I'm definitely not fully confident in Markelle Fultz becoming the guy that they drafted. But I think it's just as unreasonable to look at him and say, he's terrible, he's never going to make a difference. He's going to be out of the NBA in 3 years. So I'm just optimistic. I can be optimistic and look at the team. And I think that saying they're fucked after the first year that they're even remotely good, I think that's not a rational take.
Okay. Are you done?
And I wasn't the one that started the negative thing. That was people online. I was just joking.
No. But you put me in that position. That's it. Like, your position, your lack of position puts me in that position.
I don't have
that's
a
it.
Lack of
if,
position,
if no
man.
One, if you
I
will,
takes
if,
on everything.
If you will not say what is really happening, somebody has to say it. Like, that is, like, I realize that everyone thinks that I went from positive to negative because I believed in what was happening and then didn't believe in what was happening. And they think that the positive thing during the Hinky era was because I was being positive. It wasn't because I was being positive. It was because I believed in what happened. And then for the next 2 years, like, literally every asset that they had was used at its least possible value. Like, every single one. They did almost nothing with cap space, almost nothing with draft picks, almost nothing in trades, almost nothing in tradable assets. Zero. And that is 2.5 years, or however long it was, if you take like half of Hinkie's year or whatever it is, that is 2.5 years of time when that is crucial, like crucial time before anyone starts getting paid any of that. And all I'm doing, like, I am extraordinarily happy with Embiid. I am happy with Ben Simmons. I love Dario. I love Robert Covington. I love those guys. Like, I feel like when they win, I win. Not Ben, but like the other guys that were there the whole time. When they lose, I lose. Like, I feel personally insulted when somebody says something about Robert Covington, TJ McConnell, or Joel Embiid. I feel as connected to those guys as any athletes I've ever felt in my entire life. And that is why I am so disappointed with that 2.5 years. Like, that, like, trading away that Sacramento pick, even if they just ended up with Lonzo Ball or Markelle Fultz at 3 and having that pick, could be the difference between having a star level player and not having a star level player. Like, that's how big that fuck up was. And that, like I don't know what, how else to feel about that. Like, it is what happened. It's what happened. And the reason they say good is the enemy of great is because good feels pretty good. Like, there's nothing wrong with good. But when your goal is great, then good is a problem. And I think the last 2.5 years have been, just as fun as they have been extraordinarily damaging in the opportunity for them to be a championship level team. Does it mean that they can't be a championship level team? Absolutely not. They absolutely can. They could. Kevin Durant could absolutely decide to come here, but that is a low percentage play, and a lower percentage play than it should have been. You know, like, all of these things are lower percentage plays than they should have been. That is my only point. And like, I don't know what else to say other than how I actually feel about Markelle Fultz. Like, that is how I actually feel. I'm not angry about it. I'm not angry at him. I don't want him to fail. But I don't even know where the positivity would come from, aside from hope, and aside from wanting to feel good, which is fine. But it's not reality. It's not the situation. You know, like, it's not a fucking accident that Tom Moore and Keith Pompey are writing today that maybe it's not such a great idea for Markelle Fultz to start. Like, there's no way that didn't come from someone within the team. Like, they're already doubting that they should do it. And Brett Brown is already saying, well, what's the big deal if he plays 5 minutes at the beginning of the game? Like, that ship is maybe not has sailed, but like, is at the dock with the motor on. So, and that's what happened. And they could still sign a free agent. Yes, they could still trade for a guy who was a star level player on a final year of a deal and take a shot there. Absolutely, those things could absolutely happen. But they're in worse position than the Celtics, who are their main rivals. And they are in worse position than the Celtics specifically because of the front office change and specifically because of that deal that they made for that pick. That's it. Those are the facts.
Okay. I think they. I mean, they won. They went from 28 to 50.
I know, Mike. Like, you could say it 100 times. It's still it's true every time. They did. They won 52 games. Things are great. The Ben Simmons won the Rookie of the Year. I know all of those things. I'm aware of all of those things.
I think it's just a little overly negative to be like, I know what's going to happen in the future. I don't think that Colangelo did a good job. I need to say it a million times.
I didn't say I knew what was going to happen in the future. I didn't say that I knew what was going to happen in the
future.
But
to say we're fucked, and like, yeah, Boston probably looks better right now, but I don't know. Whatever. Let's keep doing it. Let's go to AU.
I don't even know if we have time for AU at this point. If you have to leave at 10:50, we don't really have time to do it. That would be my guess.
We got five takes. I got five takes ready to go.
All right. Andrew Unterberger is brought to you by Kinetic Skateboarding, the official skateboard shop of The Process. They have all kinds of t-shirts and shorts and, of course, skateboards and limited edition sneakers that you can get nowhere else. Vans, Converse, Nikes. Get 9.1% off your first order with promo code DaveSilver at kineticskateboarding.com. Hi, Andrew. You're still muted.
What's up, Spec?
How are you?
Nah, can you hear me now? Yeah. I feel like the previous conversation was at least slightly my fault for refusing to indulge your Fultz-related worriness in text earlier this week, and I apologize for that.
Well, I actually, my favorite part is that you said that wait, where is it? My mic is busted, but really what happened is that you busted your mic. It is a small difference in semantic difference, but it does mean a lot different.
Well, you know, accounts can differ on that one.
Yeah. Okay, explain how this works.
All right, so I tasked you guys with coming up with five bold predictions as relates to the Philadelphia 76ers in their coming season, as well as two non-Sixers ones for the NBA at large. You go giving them one at a time, and I'll give it a rating between 1 and 10 based on how bold I feel it is. And the example I gave you guys was one is Ben Simmons leading the team in assists, which is something we all sort of think is going to happen. Five would be Ben Simmons starting the All-Star game, which could happen, but I think most people probably bet against it. And 10 would be Ben Simmons leading the team in three-pointers made, which is close to impossible to happening, but would be pretty crazy if it did. And then after you give your prediction, the other guy has a chance to outbold it by saying that they think that something even bolder is going to happen along the same line. So if Spike says Markelle Fultz is going to shoot 35% from three, which you probably won't say, but if he does, then Mike can steal that by saying Fultz will shoot 38%, but you know he can't say like 35.1%. It has to be like significantly bolder. We'll keep track of it over the course of the season. If one of your bold predictions comes true, whoever made it gets like the number of points I awarded for its boldness. So if I say it's a 7 bold, you get 7 points if it turns out to be true. And then at the end of the year, we'll have some sort of reward for the winner and or punishment for the loser based on who did the best.
Sounds good.
Let's do it.
Who goes first?
I guess
Mike. Yeah, let's let Mike go first.
I will start with a weird one, which is Zaire Smith will play in more crunch time playoff minutes than Dario Saric.
Well,
okay, that's a pretty bold one to start with. I'm not even sure if I believe that Zaire Smith is going to play this year. So let's say. We'll give that an 8. That's a pretty bold one.
And there's no way I can outbold that, right? I'd have to pick like Shamet or something, right? I mean, yeah.
Yeah, you could try something along those lines, but that'd be pretty impractical. So, but do you want to give a quick reaction to that before we go to your one?
I think it deserves a 10. I'll give him as many points as he wants on that one.
I don't want to start with a 10. Let's say 8 for okay. Now. But yeah, it's a pretty impressive opening game.
All right.
Spike, your first bold.
I feel like mine seems unbold by comparison. I believe in one way or another. Now, this does not. I'm not counting a press conference or anything like that. It will be a tweet. It will be an in-stadium thing. Something that the Sixers will publicly acknowledge Sam Hinkie this year.
And any kind of acknowledgement, you know, just kind of saying his name counts as an acknowledgement. It doesn't have to be like an acknowledgement of the job he did or that he was right.
I think it will lean toward, like, it'll be like an, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. Now, it doesn't mean he'll ring the bell, but I do think
that was my bolding. My rebolding is that Sam Hinkie rings the bell.
Well, I think you can steal it with that, Mike, if you want to. Are you officially going with that?
Sure. Why not?
All right. We'll We'll give that an 8 as well. I think that's about on par of boldness as a Zaire out playing Dario in the playoffs. So yeah, 2 8s for Mike, and I guess we'll go back to Spike for an attempt at. And by the way, you can only get up to 5 predictions. So if you steal a bunch of Mike's, or rather, if Mike steals a bunch of Spike's, that costs you one of your own later.
Well,
so 2 for Mike now, 0.
And what I can do is like I can just Price is Right this one and just start betting $1 by betting that Ben Simmons' average is more than 9 points a game or something like that. How about this?
You could do that, yeah.
J.J. Redick will start 30 more games than Markelle Fultz.
Okay, that's more than a 1, but I think that a lot of people would probably agree with that. I think, right now we're going to a kind of a coin toss as to who's actually going to start the season in the starting lineup. So I'll say that's like a 4, maybe.
Okay.
I think 4 is probably a little bit generous.
I'm fine with that.
But Mike, do you want to take that one?
Nope.
All right. So Spike gets his first one, and Mike, you get to go for your third.
I will say that the Sixers will make a Lee Jenkins / Haralabob esque signing of someone from Sixers Twitter this season.
Okay, I guess Spike, you can. Well, first off, I'll say I'll give that like a 6 for boldness. But I'll say that, Spike, you can steal it by trying to name a specific person from Sixers Twitter that they can hire.
Oh. Well, real quick, they have to hire them in basketball operations, right? Not for, like, Twitter or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to be clear, like, what we're talking about. If it's Haralabob-esque, it's not to run their Twitter. Okay.
No, I think it has to be somebody front office.
Yeah. Nope. I'm going to let that go.
All right, so back to you, Spike, for your second.
Well, what's the number on that one?
We said 6.
Oh, 6, okay. The Sixers, at some point this year, will acquire at least 2 former Sixers.
Ooh. Okay, so Mike can, let's say for that, I don't think they've ever done 2 former Sixers before. They've obviously done 1 on numerous different occasions, but... I'll give that a 6 too, and I'll say that Mike can outbold that either by saying they'll take more than 2 Sixers or by naming specific Sixers that
no,
they'll
I'm good.
Reacquire.
I'm good.
All right. So that's 2 for Spike, 3 for Mike, going for his 4th.
I will say Joel Embiid will shoot over 82% from the line.
Oof.
Wow. Do you know offhand what he shot last year?
It's got to be like 73 76? Or something.
No, I think it was like 76.
All right, and I don't remember exactly what he shot in the preseason, but I feel like it was well below 82. I think he was probably in the 60s. So that's pretty bold, I think.
It was 77
last year.
Okay. 77 last year. Okay. So that's bold, but it's not quite sexy bold, so I'll give that a 7. And obviously, Spike, if you want to go with a higher free throw percentage.
Nah, I'll leave that alone.
All right.
Wilson Chandler will play fewer than 30 games this year.
All right, well, I can't say I find that bold. As I've said on numerous occasions, I believe that Wilson Chandler actually died in 2015 on the Denver Nuggets bench. So I'll give that a 3, I guess. Yeah, I'll get a 3 for that one. And I guess, Mike, you can steal by going even fewer or by something.
No, I believe he'll play more. I believe he'll play more.
Okay. I think is that 4 and 4 now, or is that 4 and 3? I've lost count.
I have 3, I think. I have the Redick one, the former Sixers one, and the Chandler one.
All right, and I think Mike has 4.
I have 4,
so.
Yeah. Well, if this is my last one, I will say my Ben Simmons show will not get picked up to series, and everyone will be confused as to why there was any hullabaloo
then
about
I'm gonna,
it whatsoever.
I'm going to steal that and say it will.
Oh, hold on a second. I have to give that okay. A bold score first. I don't really know how the industry works. I don't know what the likelihood of this happening is. I will go right down the middle and say that is a 5 for boldness.
Well, can I steal that and say it will get picked up?
Sure.
No.
Oh, that's bullshit.
No, because if it's a 5 for bold, no, but that can be your bold prediction. Mike can keep his and you can make yours
okay,
separate.
Okay, all right, fine.
And yours will also be
okay,
a 5.
Okay, fine.
All right, all right, so your 4th prediction is that it will get picked up, and I guess Mike can't steal it without contradicting his earlier
correct.
Prediction.
Correct. That's
true. You get that one automatically. Yeah. All right, so your last bold prediction related to the Sixers, Spike.
So he was 20th last year. I believe Robert Covington will be top 6 in the NBA in 3-pointers made this year.
Really, he was only 20th last year. Is it because he missed a bunch of games?
That's surprising. I don't know.
Well, anyway, I feel like he was... I think he finished in the top 10 2 years ago. I think he was, like, exactly number 10, if I remember correctly. So, top six is bold, but it's not, like, Super Bowl. So, I'll give that a 5 as well. Mike, do you want to outdo that?
I think
He was 20th in per game, but there's not really anybody ahead of him that missed significant time. So I don't know, Kyrie Irving is the only one on the list that actually missed any time. So I don't know total number.
I think 5 is about fair for that. All right, so we can move on to the two non-Sixers related predictions now. Mike, you can go first with that.
He was 14th. He was 14th.
Okay. I didn't prepare non-Sixers predictions. I didn't get that far in the email, I guess. Let me get, I can come up with one.
All right. Well, so Spike, do you want Spike to go first while you workshop? Yeah. All right. Spike, you go first.
Draymond Green demands a trade during the season.
Mid-season. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's plausible, but it is pretty bold. I certainly would bet against it. I'll give that like a 7. I'll give it a generous 7. And I guess Mike, you can name a different Warrior demanding a trade if you want to try to steal that one.
No. That's a good one.
Like a less likely.
That's a good one. I'll let him have it.
All right. Cool. And you want to give your first one, or should Spike give a second?
No, I'll go on. The Milwaukee Bucks will finish in the top three in the East.
Okay. I guess that means they have one of the Raptors, Celtics, or Sixers. So I think that's pretty bold too. I'll give that a 7 as well.
Oh, what are you, a 7?
No, that's what, higher than the Sixers. I find it almost impossible they'll beat the Raptors or the Celtics, and I very strongly disagree that they would beat the Sixers.
I think the
maybe a 7's generous, but I gave you a couple generous scores there too, Spike. So I think a 7's fine for that.
Okay. Well then I.
Well, do you want to outbold it since you think it's so
reasonable? I believe I'm going to make the boldest prediction that anyone has made so far, actually, with my final NBA prediction.
All right, we'll go next.
Kobe Bryant will play at least one game for the Lakers this year.
That's pretty good.
A good one. According to Shaq, yeah, that's going to happen. Well, that's a terrifying proposition for so many reasons, and I sincerely hope it doesn't come true, but that is pretty bold. I'm not going to quite give it a 10, but I'll give it a 9.
I think that's. I think that might be a 10. That's pretty good.
No, 20 games. It's possible. Stranger things have happened than that. That's not like Ben Simmons leading the team in 3 points.
Sure.
Made.
Bold. And this is.
I think it's one less bold.
And this is our last league prediction, right?
Mm-hmm. It's your last league prediction. Yes.
Okay. Well, that was such a big one. I don't want to go like a little one now. I want to take a. I will say Dwight Howard gets cut and does not get placed on another team this season.
Wow.
And he never plays in the NBA again.
Well, wait a minute. We can't do the NBA plays. Otherwise,
that's fair.
The contest will never end. So it doesn't play in the...
But he goes unsigned by another roster this season.
Yeah, let's say that.
Okay. That's not as bold. I could see a world where that happens. That's not quite as bold as the Kobe thing, but it's still pretty bold. I'll cheap out with a half score and give that a 7.5.
That's fair.
Spike, you're good with that?
Yeah. I mean, there's no way I can. I already have 2, so it doesn't matter anyway.
That's true. All right, so I'll collect those in one place that everyone can see them once the podcast goes up and. And yeah, we'll keep track of it over the course of the season and have to come up with some stupid prize and or punishment.
One of my unused takes is that we will get asked to ring the bell. And I will not be able to attend. So it'll be people will have to assume it's either Spike by himself or it goes away.
That might have gotten a 10. That might have gotten the first ever 10 in the
I gotta be honest with you. I don't think it's a 10. We made the demand of David Heller last time. I'll make it again this time. David Heller is definitely Ricky friendly. He is apparently, according to Keith Pompey, pulling the strings, and the one string he needs to pull is the bell ringing. That's the string he needs to pull. So between that and the hinky acknowledgement, we'll know that Heller is really in charge.
I look forward to the two of you getting to ring the bell and them still somehow not saying the name the entire time.
Yeah, I can't imagine they will.
That's gonna be great.
All right, and AU, great job on the MC. AU wrote a piece on writestorikysanchez.com this week about the win over Miami in the first game of the process as his favorite Sixers game of all time, which is a you forget how crazy that game was until you read the thing. The fact that they won that game,
loved it
because it was
3-0.
I appreciate it.
It was over the Bulls and the Wizards too, right? Were those the three teams? I think. Yeah.
Yep.
Back when the Bulls were good.
All right. Sixers basketball Tuesday night against the Celtics, and then Thursday night against the Bulls. The season has begun. Are you down with TTP?
Yeah. You know, lick face.
We are the murderers there. That went to jail and we murdered the murderers there. Then went to hell and discovered the devil delivered some hurt and despair. Used to have powder to push. Now I smoke pounds of the kush. Holy, I'm burning the bush. Now I give a fuck about none of this shit. Two runner over and out of this bitch. Step into the spotlight. Bumpers and downers get done. I'm in a rush to be numb. Dropping 1,000 ain't much. Cup on the clouds on a missile to turn.